Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Hope everyone is doing well, or as well as they can be during an international break where it seems like there's a new Villa player getting injured every day. So let's knock on wood, cross our fingers, whatever kind of superstitious being you want to be on any given day when it comes to Villa and their luck with injuries thus far. But nonetheless, it's a special edition of the Holtcast. We're not entirely sure when this will go out. I imagine it'll probably be on a usual Monday to keep things a little bit as per, but regardless of that, of course, it's Cole Petum here as always, and I'm joined by Tom Nightingale as well. So Tom, how's it going for you?
Yeah, not too bad. Like you said, international break, boring as hell, isn't it? We've got to find things to do with ourselves. That's the thing about Villa. However they're playing so far in a season, it's terrible when they stop, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, we can only do so much, and it feels like when I go on my feed once or twice a day during the international break, it's just there's nothing really going on, and it's a little sad and frustrating. But nonetheless, it's not just me and Tom, because let's be honest, we heard that earlier in the week. We've already ranted and raved about a pretty dull 1-0 victory that most people thought was massively frustrating, even though it was 3 points, and we got an hour plus out of that somehow. But that's probably just me and Tom ranting and raving more so than anything. We are pleased to be joined by Ash Priest, of course, from Birmingham Live, the Aston Villa correspondent. So Ash, how's it going for you today?
Oh, good, lads. Thanks for having me on. International week, and obviously we've just heard the news in France that Kamara's facing 2 months out. So, just got lots of injuries lately. But I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to the Leeds game in, 10 days' time? So, yeah, looking forward to that one.
Yeah, absolutely. It just can't come soon enough, can't it? But no. Anyways, Ash, we do have you on for a reason. We do want to ask you some questions and get you involved in our little bit of chatter, rants and raves, whatever. We'll see how this goes. We do have a few to kind of start off on a lighter note. And I know you probably have been asked these kind of questions in the past, but I'm sure listeners like to know these things, especially younger individuals looking to get into the profession and all that kind of stuff. So the first one I'll start you off with, apart from the whole thing of being a Villa reporter, reporting on the club you love per se, I guess really, is there a specific thing about the job that you love in particular more so than others?
Good question. I like interacting with fans. I like giving fans the news, and I like breaking stories kind of thing. I like that aspect. I like me being on the ground for you. So me being your eyes and ears, basically. So anything happening at the training ground or with the youth teams, I like to cover the whole thing, stadium plans, as we know. So being that Villa reporter for you guys, basically, that's the most rewarding part of the job, and bringing you the news. That's what I enjoy most. People might say, oh, but you get to go to the football, so what, you watch the games free, but you can watch football for free. You don't get to go and see Gerard weekly, so I try and give you the best I can in that aspect kind of thing. I can put your questions to the manager. I can relay what the manager said, or so I'm your eyes and ears. I like that aspect of it.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of people, especially when it comes to reporters being able to go to games and stuff like that, I think a lot of people just think of the benefits and not the actual work and graft and things like that have to go behind it. So with that, it doesn't even have to be a press conference or anything like that. What would you say in your time in your position so far has been, I guess, the hardest moment being a Villa reporter so far?
I think during the COVID, I was Villa reporter during the COVID situation, and quite a lonely job that was. Up and down the motorway on my own, going into stadiums on my own, coming out on my own. And so that aspect was pretty tough. Now the press rooms are back open. You can interact with your peers more, which is beneficial now. It's much more helpful. But yeah, during the COVID time, it was tough going. And a lot of traveling at the weekends. You don't get a lot of traveling at weekends and stuff like that. that was quite taxing during the tour. But now the press room's open, you get to see familiar faces. It's much, much better that way. But yeah, usually the travel can be a bit of an issue. But yeah, then it's right in the middle of the country. I mean, I don't know what the Newcastle reporters do or stuff like that. So we're lucky in that aspect.
Absolutely.
I suppose as well, during COVID, as you said about enjoying the sort of fan interaction side of it, obviously that was something that was completely missing, wasn't it? For however, I've lost track now of how long it actually was where the stadiums were completely empty, but it felt like a lifetime when we were in the middle of it.
It did.
I was going to say, we've got, it's quite an interesting perspective, I think, you being on this pod, because although we've got, you know, the other lads that come on with us are based in the UK, Cole and I are both based over in Canada. And when you're talking about the fan interaction, it made me think it's an incredibly useful thing, I think, to have reporters like yourself for fans who maybe don't have the luxury of being able to get to games, whether it's for a geographical reason or for a financial reason or whatever. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about I know you went down under over the summer for that fantastic pre-season tour and seeing all those Villa fans, you know, come out. It's interesting because over here, I've been over here in Toronto now for 7 years or so, and it was about 4 years, not really knowing that there were very many Villa fans out here, you know, like watching, trying to get links for streams, particularly when we're in the Championship. But then about 3 years ago, I discovered the Villa Toronto supporters group. I know you had a bit of interaction with our chairman. After that, the North American meetup we had in May. And I think it's that thing of once you have been a Villa fan, particularly my perspective, being a Villa fan in the UK, used to be a season ticket holder, and then you move out to a different country and you discover these Villa fan communities out here. I think until you sort of see them for yourself, you don't quite realize the scope of Villa's global fan base. When you went to Australia, were you surprised by the level of sort of fervor that you saw from Villa fans?
Yes, I was mind blown, to be honest, Tom. I really was. I get that there's a lot of expats in Australia, more so than Canada, where you guys are from. There's a lot of people who were former season ticket holders who moved out to Australia for a new life, and they're very much Brummies still, big Villa fans. But yeah, the following out there was simply incredible. The fact they were listening to our podcast on the Claret Blue channel, and they listen to that religiously. They're getting up at after the clock to watch the Villa week in, week out, and they're really dedicated. And they follow, is it 10,000 miles away? They're following us from afar, as the famous song goes. So yeah, totally taken aback by it. I've had people coming up to me wanting photos and stuff. I was like, what is this? So I'm just a Villa fan like you guys, just lucky enough to do the job. And crazy experience. So lucky to have gone. Once in a lifetime opportunity. And I'm so pleased I went as well. There was obviously talking about going. I think I was the only Villa representative there from a media perspective. I thought it was very important to go. And looking back, one of my highlights of my career so far. And just being out there and like, again, being your eyes and ears, shining a light on the Aussie villains and giving them a platform, saying, we follow Villa too. We love Villa as much as you. And speaking to people. And, just shining a light on it, because I think it needed doing. Hence why Villa went over there to spread the brand and whatnot. So, fantastic experience. And I was totally taken aback by it. I really was.
Absolutely. I do have to ask one thing about that trip. I mean, in terms of the time difference, how did you find that one? Because I can only imagine that would be a few days adjustment at the very least.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I was only there 11 days and I did 3 cities. I lost count how many flights I did. 11 days, 3 games, starting in Brisbane, up to Queensland, up to Townsville, then right across the country to Perth. So I packed a lot in a short period of time. And yeah, the jet lag, yeah, it's tough. I think it's more in the mind, I think. I think if you say you're tired, I think you'll feel tired. So I tried to plow on. The kickoff times are pretty good over there as well. So yeah, but yeah, I was fine by it towards the end. It was just, that's a minor thing, really. So lucky to have gone, you know. So I couldn't grumble at all.
Absolutely. Do you have a favourite moment or two that stick out more than any other?
Meeting my brother over there. My brother lives in Sydney. So he flew over to the Brisbane game for the lead. So just being with him pre-match and with his friends and just being alongside my brother in Australia. First time I've seen him out there since he made the move in 2018. So yeah, that was a nice moment for me, nice personal moment for me. And just meeting friends. I mean, I had a couple, lovely couple from Melbourne, They invited me around for breakfast, cut me a full English, all right, Ash, yeah. And they looked after me while I was over there as well. So making friends and yeah, just taking it all in, really. But yeah, being my brother, that's quite special.
Absolutely. I guess with Villa now, and especially under current ownership, when we look at tours like the Australian one and kind of growing the Villa brand per se, do you think this is something we should probably expect as fans a little bit more? Of course, we had the US tour a couple seasons back, of course. Do you think this is something we should probably get more acclimatized to, where you see your Chelseas and Uniteds, et cetera, go abroad and then go in these big tournaments?
Oh, for sure. For sure. We've seen Christian Perslow's interviews about spreading Villa's global brand. I mean, they've got a team out in Egypt, ZFC. Villa have. They went over to Minnesota in 2019. That was a big part of Villa going stateside for the first time in a long while, especially the first time in the Edin Suarez ownership as well. So that was important. Obviously, COVID affected matters after that. And then obviously we went to Australia just now. I think Villa have made links with a couple of youth teams in Queensland as well. So, yeah, Villa much following the mantra set by Man City. I think Man City have about 8 or 9 teams all over the world. You map from Melbourne to Mumbai, stuff like that. So Villa are trying to do that as well. Commercially, it's huge. And just spreading that Villa footprint. And yet, I've gone again. But yeah, it's massive importance to Perslow and the owners to spread the message and yeah, just make Villa as big as possible. And going to Australia was a big part of that. I think they'll go to America maybe next summer. I think that'll come again as well. I'll go out to Australia again at some stage as well. And yeah, I mean, the Las Vegas Villains maybe coming to fruition soon enough. So yeah, it's happening. The owner's got big ambitions and they want to make Villa more global and as big as possible.
I think it's a big thing, really, because you talked about going statesides like Minnesota. I know this well. They did. They came to play Toronto FC, so like close to where we're based. Can't remember, about 2007, I think, something like that. And you know, I know a few people from the group or from people that I've met out here who, I think you probably felt the same thing when you're in Australia. You meet people who there's the expat population, and there's people who started supporting Villa for all kinds of reasons. I know the O'Neill era was a very popular one for obvious reasons for getting new Villa fans from abroad. But I know a few people who sort of latched onto Villa because they saw them play at Toronto FC's ground back in 2007 or whatever, and started following from there, and then developed into some of the most passionate fans that you could hope to find, really. So I honestly, I know there's a lot of talk about, I think it gets some fans goats about focusing on off-field stuff and commercial and expansion and that sort of stuff. But if it breeds more passionate fans, more support from abroad and that sort of stuff, it's only a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. That's where it all starts. You get to a game and you see Aston Villa play, and then that's how it starts, with the kids going, and then they get onto the parents. I want to follow them now. And you got a new fan, haven't you, straight away? I was just looking at that Toronto game. Luke Moore hat-trick and a John Carew tapping.
Oh, yeah?
4-2 back in 2007, yeah. But that's where it all starts, yeah.
Luke Moore went on to play for TFC as well afterwards.
Of course. He did. Yeah, see? But, yeah, that's what it's about. Starting the fans young and like, that's what it is, really. Yeah, you follow Villa friendlies, and that's how it all snowballs from there, doesn't it, really? You have fans for life, and you have fans spending money on kit, merchandise, tickets flying over. And again, it generates income, doesn't it, and a bigger following.
Absolutely. Well, let's switch to, I don't know if you'd call it more a serious topic, but we'll switch to modern day Villa, at least. Of course, we would all like for Villa to be in a better position in terms of league table at this point in time. 15th in the table on 7 points minus 4 goal differential. We'd probably like to be, you'd probably say at least 5 plus positions higher, but you know what? It is what it is. So, I mean, Ash, when you sit back and you look at it, I mean, it's only been a small sample size. We've already had a very stop-starty last month, of course, with the passing of the Queen, a little break there, and we all have our own opinions and debates how that should have been handled, and of course now an international break. So it's been, I guess, good form in regards to Villa, but it's been, of course, just absolutely stop started with all these breaks and pauses. So I guess a good kind of question to ask you, what's been the best moment for you thus far this season? And if you can think of one, maybe you think as a disappointment as well.
Ooh, put me on the spot here, Cole. Best moments. So best moments. I'd say the performance against Man City, just out of nothing really. Villa going into that one, losing 3 on the spin in the league. No hope whatsoever. You got Erling Haaland rocking up. You think you're dreading the worst there. And to put in a performance like that and to really dig in, and it was very dogged, and the fans applauded him off after that. So that was a big moment for me, that Man City one. It proved the players are still with Gerrard at this point. And as we've seen against Southampton, the ground out of a much needed win there as well. So that's been the best moment for me, the Man City points, and could have been all three. It really could have, which is a scary thought, really, given Villa's form this season. The disappointments, it's just that one big bop on the nose, opening day of the season, expecting big things. And Bournemouth absolutely battered Villa. They really did. They was up for it. And yeah, that was a real surprise and massive disappointment, given all the hype in pre-season, the new signings, everything was all set. And to go down to Bournemouth on the opening day, Wes Edens was in the crowd as well, and to set that tone then was really disappointing. So that was really bad. Yeah, but like you say, very disjointed season, stop start, injuries. I've seen people on Twitter saying, end the season now. I see where they're coming from, to be fair. But I'm very, very intrigued by the next run of games, you know. Obviously, we've got 9 games now before the World Cup. So get this international break out of the way. Back-to-back away games now. They haven't won an away game this season. Big character test. And yeah, 9 games. 8 in the league, 1 in the cup before the World Cup. We'll have a good idea where Villa will be then. So this little batch of fixtures now, crucial for the season.
I remember when the fixtures came out, and October stood out straight away as a really jam-packed, busy month. Yep. And a month that might be kind of defining early on. And I think, if anything, unfortunately, the way the season's gone so far, not just on the pitch, but off it with the injuries we talked about earlier on, like, it's only got bigger, isn't it, really?
Huge.
I don't like buying in too much to, if you don't start season well, it's a write-off. But particularly with the big World Cup, like the 6-week World Cup break, is going to kill all the momentum. And it's also going to provide a period for everyone at club to sort of reassess where we are. Like, October feels pretty massive.
It does. Yeah, it feels like there's 2 seasons happening, really. Mini one here, and it'll restart again Boxing Day onwards. So, yeah, this October month, what we got 6 games all crammed in. We've got to come thick and fast. And Villa got to get points on the board. Let's not beat around the bush. We've got to get points on the board quick time. they managed to do that last time out, and they need to build on that now. So, yeah, massive month, both for the manager and the club as well.
Yeah, 100%. Tom, I'll actually spin this question to you first. I mean, we've probably talked about this privately a gazillion times, or at least the group of us on the Holtcast, but who would you say needs to step up this season so far? Who have you not really been impressed with and kind of expecting better from?
It's difficult, isn't it? You know, I would have said, honestly, not to... I mean, I love him. I still love the fact he's a Villa player, but I would have probably said Phil Coutinho until... maybe even until the last game. I thought last week was his best performance of the season so far. I thought he was getting the ball down, really starting to dictate the play a bit and showing the flashes of the player that we know is in there. But unfortunately, I think we haven't quite seen that to the level that we're all hoping for. If he can build on that performance and start to have more of the influence that we know he's capable of, you know, I'm thinking of the Leeds game at home last year, that madcap 3-3 draw, and then the Southampton win at home. And, you know, there were games last season where he was unplayable, really. If we can get back to that, get that form out of him, I think that could be a real key for us. Apart from that, you know, I don't really think there are any players that I'd sort of hook this on. I'm not like, it's a difficult one to assess, isn't it? Like, I know there's been a lot of talk on social media about, is it the tactics? Is it the morale? Is it the stop-start season having its effect, the injuries to new signings? I don't really think there's anybody... there's been a lot of talk about McGinn, hasn't there? But again, I thought he picked it up a bit last game, particularly as we were seeing out the win. Last 10, 15 minutes, he sort of grabbed it by the scruff of the neck a bit more in the way that we know he can do. So I think more than players, I think it's just about See, well, far easier said than done. I'm saying it from a literal armchair, being an literal armchair fan right now. But I think it's just more about getting some momentum going and getting maybe get some confidence going through these guys, because we've looked, particularly until pre-City, the confidence level has just not been there at all, has it?
No, not at all. Ash, how do you see that one? Would you agree with Tom, or is there any players in particular you think maybe you need to step up a little more so than others?
Yeah, I think confidence. I think a lot of Villa players are taking a confidence hit. Coutinho being one of them, although he did look bright last game. Again, that captaincy is weighed heavy on him. Mm. I believe, and he's trying too hard. And yeah, the loss of form, losing games. It's not a recipe for success, is it really? So, form hasn't been great, and you're going to go into your shell a bit more, aren't you, as a player? You're not going to express yourself a bit more. You'll take the safer pass as opposed to taking a risk. So, yeah, it's a combination of things, I think. I think, interesting that Gerard alluded to last week, that he's still about the departure of Michael Beale. They're still feeling that. We also know Amy Martinez's interview saying just how big an influence he was during meetings and throughout the last season. So he's been a big miss as well. Villa are finding the way, finding a new identity now. Gerard's leaning on Crutchley more, obviously, since his involvement. So it's a number of things. Injuries, obviously, changing the back four straight away, given Carlos his injury. I think Mings has done well after the big decision on him. But yeah, confidence, I think, for me. I think what's Gerard won? 8 games this calendar year so far. They haven't really improved too much. So yeah, they need to be more consistent. And I think confidence is the big issue. And like you say, the Man City one, you draw against them, I could have won it. Confidence again, you beat Southampton. You're starting to get that momentum again, and hopefully they'll take that into the Leeds game.
I'd have loved to have actually had the opportunity to play Leicester after the City
yes,
game.
Yes, that was the one.
I'm not counting that it's we. I'm not saying we would have won it, but you know that would have been a real opportunity, wouldn't it, to build some momentum after City and to have that. I'm very pleased that unless Southampton wasn't a great game, I'm very pleased we came away with the win, because I was a bit concerned after that week's break that the City game might be forgotten and the momentum might sort of evaporate before we had a chance to take advantage of it. I mean, that was a shame. But it's that thing. I said this to Cole the other day, like it's the fourth season in a row now, isn't it, where it's been disrupted by something or other after 3 years of COVID disruptions or whatever. So, like I say, and then back to October. October's the chance to sort of put that right a little bit, isn't it, and start get the wheels moving.
Yeah, momentum's everything. It really is. And as we've seen the last two games, it's starting to build a little bit now. Players are playing a bit more confidence. We're even seeing a bit of the old McGinn as well, which was welcome last week. So, yeah, hopefully it all falls into place. But tough game against Leeds coming up. Big character test now over this next month. We'll see what they're made of.
Yeah, absolutely. I almost think in a weird way, with a jam-packed schedule, it actually lets some of these players get some form, get some consistency. There's essentially at some point going to be some decent rotation as well with how heavy the schedule is going to be before the break. So I think that'll massively help. Now, I guess in terms of standout performers so far this season, Ash, has there been anyone that's maybe not necessarily surprised you? Because I think most of these Villa players, we know what to expect, but have you been impressed by, I guess, one or two more so than others?
Yeah, I think Tyrone Mings jumps out straight away. I don't think he's put a foot wrong, to tell you the truth. I think that decision to take the armband off him has worked. I think he's worried about his own game now. He's making less mistakes. I think that's been a real positive for me. Tyrone Mings' form looks strong, looks confident as well. So that's been a plus. Anything else, really? I've liked Watkins' work. I really have. I know he hasn't had the goal return he would have liked. He's got the one goal, a couple of assists for Ali, but he looks like he's giving Villa a bit more now as well. Yeah, but other than that, it's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, we've lost more than we've won. So, but yeah, I'd say Mings has been the standout, and Watkins has been decent enough as well. Other than that, can't really shout too much about the form of some players, can we really? That hasn't been good enough, hence our league position.
We talked about, I mean, Cole and I talked about Watkins a bit on the last pod that we did. But I agree on Watkins. I think he's got, in a lot of ways, I think he's got a very thankless task, really, for us, particularly the way the season's gone so far up front on his own. The amount of times in a game that a ball's fired into him, either in the air or at feet, and he's not only hoping for a perfect first touch, but he's got to wait for people to get up and support, right? And it's I think he does a very good job. There's too much I think these days of judging strikers purely on the key stats, you know, the goals and the assists.
But
in a team like us, particularly the way we've been playing this year, I think the striker's job's about so much more than that. And I agree, I think he's been a good outlet for us. The other person we shouted out, didn't we, Cole? We talked quite a lot about last time. I've been so impressed with Ashley Young coming in since Cash has got injured. I mean, he is obviously completely different player to the one who left us. Fitter now than he was when he was 24, which is remarkable. And he's not, I don't think he's really done anything wrong, has he, in the last two games since coming, you know, since he stepped in City and sort of locked down Phil Foden for the remainder of that game. I think, you know, we've talked quite a lot about the sort of nous and the experience that he brings, but I sort of feel a bit bad for overlooking the quality that he still has as well.
Yeah.
Which I think's really been on show last couple.
Yeah, bags of quality, Ashley Young. Rallies the troops as well. Interesting, I think when Ramsey scored as well, he told the players, in 10 minutes, switch on time. He's so key behind the scenes, Ashley Young. Such a key signing. Noah Bryan to extend his stay by a year. Doing his coaching badge now as well, so we'll see if he makes the move to Villa's coaching staff maybe. But yeah, like you say, ability wise he's got everything, picks the right pass, strong defensively as well, can do anything. So yeah, massive plus Ashley Young. He's good in the cup against Bolton as well, and last two games solid as a rock. So yeah, love a bit of Ashley.
Absolutely, and I'm still waiting for him to absolutely smash one into the top corner with a little bit of curl on it. We need to relive some of those old days at least one more time. I'm as I always joke about on this podcast, Ash, I'm still waiting for Marvis Nakamba to score a screamer. I don't think that's ever probably going to happen for Villa, but regardless of that, we'll have to wait and see. Maybe one day in a random cup game, it could potentially happen. But let's get a little, I guess, down for a second, because we are Villa fans and we just can't have nice things. And that being Boubacar Kamara's injury now, seems like you reported at the very start, around 2 months, which kind of pushes us ever so closer to basically not seeing him till after the World Cup, most likely at this point. I mean, how much of a blow is this? I mean, the last time it feels like we really had a true out and out defensive midfielder, for me at least, was the relegation season, where it was just absolute chop and change and we had the talent but really couldn't put together. But how much of a miss do you think this will be for this side? And how do you think Steven Gerrard will really kind of react in terms of the lineup we put in?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's making this, I think, the sign of Dundonka now looking all the more crucial, really, isn't it? It's a massive blow for Villa, this one. I've seen people saying today, oh, it's only 2 months, I expected worse. But this two-month period now is massive for Villa, as we've spoken about during the pod. So come at a bad time for me. I know we're an international break and whatnot, but he's so pivotal to Villa and what they do. He's the perfect number six to come in, we've longed for. Hasn't ripped it up this season by any means, Kamara, but he's been there when you needed him, mopping up danger, great pass for the ball, and I think Villa are going to miss him badly. So yeah, tough one. We'll see where they go from here. Obviously, Dendonka's the natural fit for me to come in there, but Dendonka's not a Boubacar Kamara, is he? So yeah, I'm really intrigued to how they address this now, Gerrard. If there's one player you didn't want injured, it was Kamara out of them all. Maybe Watkins, giving what he gives us, but it's Kamara. Huge loss. Tom, your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, he's been, like you say, it's not, he hasn't ripped it up, but nobody has, have nobody they, has. Really, for us this year.
Ashley Young.
He's clearly quality, isn't he? You can really see why teams, Atletico Madrid and the teams of that ilk were interested in him, and it was a huge coup, I think, to get him. It's just so frustrating. It's the story. I feel like fans of every football team probably feel like this. You have that sort of insular view, don't you, of your own club? But yeah, it feels like a very, very Aston Villa thing to happen to finally sort of bring in that quality at central defence and defensive midfield, and to lose both of them within seven games. Feels like a uniquely Villa experience, and it's just frustrating because we thought we'd sort of solved the issue, didn't we? And I agreed that Dendonka, if I'm picking the team tomorrow, it's Dendonka for me who comes in as well. But you just, yeah, it's after having last season where the balance of midfield was off more often than it was right, you know, trying to work out which of Louise and McGinn can sort of play more of the defensive role when neither of them particularly wants to take on that position, really. They both prefer playing further forward, as we know. At least it isn't longer, but like you say, 2 months, that's what you said, it's 9 games, isn't it, that could go a long way to defining the season. It just feels very Villa, doesn't it?
We could see Nakamba screaming, maybe. Nakamba coming back into the fold as well.
Nakamba's an interesting one because I think there are jobs in that defensive midfield role that I think Nakamba does very, very well. And he showed a lot of improvement, didn't he? But I don't know. It's another test for Gerrard, isn't it? The tests don't often come thick and fast at this level. And it's going to be interesting to see what he does. I do think that, feel like Dendonka's probably, like you say, he's not a Kamara necessarily in the way that he plays, or even, no disrespect to him necessarily, at the quite the same quality level, I would say. But I think he brings that sort of combative sort of, puts himself about, but also has the ability to go forward with it a bit more. It's a good opportunity for him, isn't it, to show us what he's made of and stake that claim.
Yeah, and for a signing that came out of nowhere, according to Gerrard, never on Villa's radar, Dendonka. What a crucial signing he could be now. I think he's in action tonight, Belgium play, so he'll get some much-needed minutes for him during this little break. So, yeah, what a signing it could turn out to be. Been around the block, done it. Over 100 appearances for Wolves. A side that continuously finished above Villa as well. Played in Europe for Wolves as well during his time. But yeah, gives Villa a presence in there. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how he reacts. And I think, yeah, he's your like-for-like replacement, isn't he? For sure.
Dendonka is one of those sign-ins that I think it's fair to say is never gonna set like Twitter alight with excitement in the way of like a Coutinho or whatever. But he reminded me a bit, maybe it's an odd comparison because I know Chambers isn't playing, but it strikes me as a similar kind of ilk as the Chambers signing, which I think could turn out to be a very savvy piece of business to boost your squad. And, you know, it's those steps, isn't it, towards building a more well-rounded squad and getting that quality and depth that I think Villa fans have been complaining has been missing for years.
Yeah, that depth's important, yeah. And like you say, when injuries do happen, like we've had with Kamara, you need that backup man to come in and do a good job. So... yeah, I think the floor is Leander's, and I've got confidence in him. He'll do well. Premier League proven. Yeah. Plenty of caps for Belgium as well. You don't get picked by Belgium for no reason as well. So I've got every confidence in him. Be interesting how he does in there, though, obviously. Different dynamic, yet to really play with his new teammates at Villa. So it might take him a while to settle. We'll see.
Absolutely. Tom, do you think, I guess, of course, with Kamara being out, do you think this will more so maybe change the way that Gerrard wants to set up the team or anything like that per se, or do you think it'll be kind of business as usual in regards to that? Because I mean, we've probably seen a little bit of the latter, but we've also seen at times as well that he's like to stick to the tried and tested.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't, this might be Ash probably better at answering this question than I am, but I think he'll probably I wouldn't be surprised if we bring Dendonka and we carry on, really, because I think Gerrard will be impressed. I know McGinn splits fans, however, but I think McGinn will be Gerrard will be impressed from what he's seen from McGinn in the last couple of games. I think he's had a bit of that fight back and a bit of that fire back. Ramsey obviously just been nominated, isn't he, for a player of the month, which is a great nod for him. He's contributed well, particularly in the last two games. So I don't think there's necessarily any need to upset the apple cart. at least not straight away. But it will be interesting, especially with games coming so thick and fast. Because you know Douglas Luiz is going to be one who's going to be feeling that he deserves more minutes perhaps than he's been getting, isn't he? But then it's if you bring him in, it's back to that issue I think we had last year of how do you make Luiz, McGinn, and Ramsey work well as a rounded midfield three? Like we struggled with that, didn't we, last year? So I think having Dendonka in there as a sort of new dimension is, yeah, as Ash says, it's turned out very well already. Thank goodness, I think, really.
Callum Chambers as well. I remember playing defensive midfielder up at Burnley. I remember that. Well, yeah, so that's another option, I guess.
Yeah, true. Yeah, actually, funnily enough, we did bring that up on the last podcast, and I thought Tom was going to think I'm absolutely crazy. But regardless of that, it did happen, and we did have some marginal success with it, I guess you could say. So
yeah, we could have another Callum Chambers wonder goal at Elland Road, couldn't we?
Oh yeah.
Do we think that was actually meant? I still sometimes wonder if, like, you know, when no player's ever going to deny it, but realistically, do we think that was actually meant to go in?
What you're saying is a cross. Yeah, a good stroke. Nice
stroke. Well, it's too late now. We might as well give him the credit because I don't think the history books are ever going to change it. But
he was shooting. Yeah, I think he meant it.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was ambitious, but, you know, it all worked out in the end, didn't it?
Well, it's like, was it Cisse for Newcastle all those years ago now, probably over a decade now, when he...
Oh, that ridiculous one.
Yeah, when everyone says he meant to actually shoot that. Let's be realistic to that. they can say what they want, but the jury's still out there for me. But anyways, I guess one way to kind of wrap this portion of the pod up before we move on to kind of a more lighthearted ending question for Ash is... It's been a very interesting summer, to say the least, transfer-wise, and I know a lot of people were probably expecting Villa to splash the cash a little bit more or maybe sign a few more players. I know, for example, Neil from For the Love of Paul McGraw loves to scout about 20,000 different players every summer, and if it was up to him, we'd probably have the deepest squad of all time. So I guess wash out Chelsea in regards to that, but... Ash, when you're looking at the summer, were you pleased with the business or do you think there was still maybe one or two kind of areas that still needed to be addressed perhaps?
I mean, on the face of it, the way they went about the business early on, getting Kamara, what a coup that was. And then Diego Carlos came out of nowhere as well. Didn't see that one coming. So the shout out a lot for him. Two very important positions for Gerrard, centre-back and central midfielder. Wanted to strengthen his spine and he did that. So... yeah, just find tweaks, find additions there. And you're thinking the base of a good squad. Need to get the best out of it now. Didn't get the best out of it last season. Dean Smith losing his job. Gerrard arriving and doing well initially. You always want more, don't you, I guess? And now, given the injuries we've had, you're looking back now. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, you know. Could be sitting here. Could be a lot different. Kamara could be... Carlos could be playing, Kamara could be into his rhythm as well. So, yeah, it is what it is, to coin a phrase. But looking back, did they leave themselves short? Tough one. It's really tough. I don't know. Up front, what can you do up front, really? Watkins and Ings, they're going to play your majority of the games, aren't they? Given the money spent on them. Buendia, club record Sony, you want to see more from him. And I was relying on more, seeing Leon Bailey, a fully fit Leon Bailey, great in pre-season. So that, yeah, I wasn't too concerned at the time. I don't know about you guys, but I thought it was savvy at the time, getting the two players they did and tying Coutinho down on a permanent was good, looked good on the outside. Just waiting for it all to come together, aren't we? And we're still waiting now. And
yeah,
I don't think Gerrard knows your strongest team. So I don't know, what do you guys think?
I'm the same as you, really. I thought, and it's difficult. It's like we're talking with hindsight now. You can't really legislate for so many key injuries so early on, right? You're not going to, no world are we going to have been expecting our first choice right back, first choice centre back, first choice defensive midfielder to all be injured after seven games into the season. But I thought, I was the same with you. I thought our business was pretty good, really. Like you say, fans, understandably, I think it's the football manager side in us all, and fans always want more.
Yeah.
But, I thought the business was pretty good. All I will say is we made some nice squad additions. Dendonka, Ludwig Augustinsson on loan at left back. With the greatest of respect, I would have been hoping to have not seen them thrown into the action quite so soon, perhaps. We'll see what, I think we're about to see what Augustinsson's made of, aren't we, probably? But you've got to, I guess there's nothing you can do really, is there, apart from place. I was pretty happy with the business on the face of it. And all you can really do is trust the decision makers at the club to do their scouting, do their analytics and strengthen the squad and move forward from there. But we'll see. It's certainly a blow to have ended up with probably, okay, Coutinho on a permanent, but apart from Coutinho, our two biggest and most exciting signings of the summer. Out long term is just gutting, isn't it? Really is.
Like you say, Gerald went out and strengthened the spine, and then to get injured, gutting. Really, would you have liked a new striker in the summertime? Was that an area for you, or not really?
I wasn't particularly concerned, because, like you said, no. What are you going to do? Where are you going to get one from? Like a proven striker who. Okay, because I know you can look back at the example of, like, say, Benteke when we signed him, wasn't exactly proven, but that's just a standout example of one of those decisions going right, isn't it? There are plenty of those decisions that go very much the other way. And I think looking at Watkins and Ings, I know that maybe we're not getting quite the regular goals from them that we'd like to be getting, but you look at any club outside the top eight, which we are, you know, any mid-table at the moment, particularly lower mid-table club, most of them would kill for Watkins and Ings as your two striking options up front. Throw in Cameron Archer. I know he's not getting game time. There's a debate there about whether a championship loan might have been better for him, given the lack of minutes. But you look at those three as your striker options for a team who are mired in mid-table, really, with only, let's be honest, only really aspirations of getting higher than about ninth or tenth. I didn't think there was much improvement on those options that could have been done for decent value and without taking a significant gamble. So what I would like to just see a bit more of is, like you say, if people like Bailey can stay fit, find ways to get Coutinho, Buendia, when he's on the pitch, involved a bit more and just get that chance creation up a little bit more. Because if you give Watkins and I think maybe particularly Ings when he's on the pitch, you give them, you know, one or two more chances per game than they got last season, and they'll score more goals. I do believe with those two up front, it's pretty much as simple as that. Mm.
Absolutely. And of course, I did see something on Twitter not too long ago saying that a fit Leon Bailey is like a new signing. So it's always good to see one of those where you sign a player, it doesn't work out the season prior, and then they're basically a new signing the following. I always love those.
I've already seen Boubacar Kamara will be like a new signing in January. That's we have to cling to that, don't we, to a certain degree, I think, as Villa fans.
Yes.
I don't think you can get him on two free transfers, but we'll take it nonetheless. But anyways, Ash, we'll ask you one more question here, and then we'll let you go so we don't take too much of your time. We do appreciate it. It's a little bit of an odd one, but we try to be a little bit more creative, or I should say Tom was, because he's basically done most of these questions for me, because he's actually really good at it. So who would you say is your dream Villa-related interviewee, and why?
Dream Villa-related interviewee? Yes. Interesting one. I'd love a sit down with Jack, you know, Grealish. Yeah. I think that would come across quite well. I know him leaving is easy now, and we get why. But at the time, it would have been nice to have a sit down with him, maybe, to explain his reasons why and stuff. I think it would have been good to get some clarity from him why he left. I know why he left, to win trophies and stuff, and that really. But that would have been a good one. Didn't get to interview Jack during my time at Villa. Gutted, really. I think it would have got on really well. Got a lot in common. That'd be an interesting one now looking back, but yeah, interesting one. Interviewee who I'd like to sit down with. I'll tell you who would be a bit out the box would be Tony Zia, Dr. Tony. I haven't heard from him, have we? But yeah, try and track him down. But yeah, I'd like to speak with the owners as well. The owners would be good. That don't tend to do interviews, do that? The owners, that'd be fantastic to hear from them. Anyone else, really?
Tony Zia would be a great one. You could write your article in emojis, couldn't you?
Emojis, to him. Yeah, you could. But yeah, trying to think, really. Stumped about you, Tom, Cole.
I had a nasty feeling you were going to flip this back to me, because it's just occurred to me that I haven't considered this myself at all. I haven't prepared any kind of answer. I think the Tony Zia one's interesting. Not necessarily him, but it would be very interesting, I think, with how long is it now? 5-6 years of hindsight to sort of dive back a bit into the relegation season and pick that apart a little bit. Because obviously at the time, you sort of, it's a horror show, isn't it? It's a waking nightmare.
Chaos, isn't it? Yeah.
Whereas now with hindsight, tell you what, that would have been a fascinating, wouldn't have reflected well on us, but what a fascinating like all or nothing documentary that would have made.
Yeah.
Be a fly on the wall for that season would have been really interesting, I think. So, you know, maybe Tony Zier or what was his name? Keith Wyness? Somebody like that. I think if they were willing to go sort of nose holds barred, you know, and really lift the lid, that'd be fascinating, but probably in a sort of almost a morbid way from a Villa point of view.
Absolutely. I can still think of exactly where I was when the announcement came out that Dr. Tony, as they like to call himself, was announced as a new owner. I was on a bus coming back home, and I think I was literally passing through Toronto at the time, and I was so excited thinking, oh, Villa are saved. Very little did we know that a lot of things almost went wrong. But I guess for me, the one, maybe this is weird, and I feel like, of course, everyone knows James Rushton. Of course, he has part of this man's memorabilia. I would love to speak to Tim Sherwood and just kind of get some more info on kind of his time and the quick downfall in the relegation season and how that all kind of came together, like who kind of gave the go ahead for the signings and all that kind of stuff. Cause there was just an absolute mishmash, and it would like to kind of have more info on all when it went all really, really wrong. But anyways, let's not focus on those days cause they're long gone. And let's be honest, they make a lot of people very frustrated and sad still. But anyways, Ash, we'll get you out of here. Thank you very, very much for joining us. It's greatly, greatly appreciated. For any odd reason, if anyone doesn't know of you, which would be basically impossible in the Villa world, because where else do they get their info? Where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Priest Observer. The reason why it's Observer as well, people might not know. I used to work on the Great Bar Observer and the Sutton Observer when I was a news journalist as well. So that's why my handle's like that. I get asked about that quite a lot. But at Priest Observer on Twitter, try and keep you all informed of what's going on. And thanks for having me, guys. Really enjoyed that. Nice to catch up. Big fan of the channel. And up the Villa, as they say.
Yeah, it's appreciated. To be honest, the Observer part, I thought you were just very observant and you just put that in there, to be honest. I've thought about that from time to time when I randomly scroll through probably like 11 o'clock at night, but that's just the thoughts of me. And of course, Tom, thank you very much for joining us. Of course, where can people find you? I'll let you shout yourself out this time so I don't have to do it automatically for you.
No, you can find me at TD Nightingale on Twitter, but I don't recommend it. I've got to be honest. Stick to Ash. Ignore me.
Yeah, well, Tom does like to get his abuse, but anyways, that's what the mute button is for. But of course, you can find me on Twitter at Talk Aston Villa. Of course, you can tweet the team as well at 7500 Holt. If you want to email us, holtcast@gmail.com. Hopefully, we should have a match preview leading up to the Leeds game with 7 of the Leeds fan or journalist, hopefully on the Thursday or Friday prior to the match. But we'll leave that up to see if Seb can wrangle someone there. So we'll leave that to be a little bit of mystery. But anyways, like I said, thank you guys for joining. We'll leave it there. And don't forget, up the Villa.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.